Well, it's quite an epic reading there in the first reading from the book of Daniel. And even that, they cut out some verses. So but there it is. It's a long story, but it's a remarkable story. And, one of the key points to be made here is that lust is one of the seven capital, sometimes called capital sins, sometimes called cardinal sins, sometimes called deadly sins. And the reason they're called capital or cardinal sins is that from the Latin cardines, meaning like a hinge or something that a door swings on, a lot of other sins swing on these seven deadly sins, or these seven cardinal sins, that they lead to other sins. And so it is that that's what we begin to see here. We have a lust leading to false accusation, leading even then to murderous behavior. We saw it with David and Bathsheba as well. Again, his lust caused him to then bring about the murder of Uriah the Hittite. And so we have these sins. In this case, lust lead to many other sins besides. And of course, we see in our own day how lust leads to many, many sins. We seem to be in a very promiscuous time, in human history. And we see, of course, the abortion. We also see broken relationships. We see all kinds of treachery and a terrible misusing of people because of lust. And so it isn't just the sin in itself, but rather it is a very deadly thing, that many sins flow from this one sin. Now, therefore, there is this remarkably long story, but it is a very powerful story. Now, I want to see here if there's just one line, if I can catch it real quick. Oh, yeah, here it is. This is the stages they went through. They suppressed their conscience, the text says. They would not allow their eyes to look to heaven and did not keep in mind just judgments. So three basic, things, stages or qualities are not of things that come together to bring about very serious sin in people's lives. First of all, to suppress one's conscience. The fact of the matter is, and people like to pretend that, and they surround themselves with teachers to tickle their ears, but deep down inside, people know most basic moral issues, and they know what's right and wrong, because God gave everyone a conscience, and God wrote His law in our heart and in our mind. We know better. Now, we like to pretend we don't. We play all kinds of games to try to, quote, suppress our conscience. Paul speaks of this in Romans 1. They suppress the truth, to press it down, to try to force it not to be so. But in fact, it is so. And we know deep down inside. We know we have a conscience. And so what the first stage in most people's journey towards a sin, particularly serious sin, is to suppress one's conscience. And again, we have lots of ways of doing this. We have these big giant brains, and we start thinking and thinking, well, it's really okay because, and we rationalize, and we go through all kinds of sophistry and rationalizations to suppress our conscience. And then, of course, we go out and we hire, I say hire in quotes, but we hire teachers to tell us this is really okay. Experts. We bring in experts and scientists and others who assure us that this bad behavior is really okay. And it's not, and we know it's not, but deep down we know it's not, but we're in this process of trying to suppress the conscience. So it says that, and secondly, they would not allow their eyes to look to heaven, And again, we see that in our current modern age, there is an attempt to kind of almost banish the Word of God from the public discussion. To redefine God. God doesn't really care about this or that, and so on. And so we see that there is this attempt to, we don't want to look to heaven. We don't want God in the picture. Put God off on the periphery, see, and this will enable us to be God ourselves. And we will go ahead and just decide, I will decide what I want to do, and I will decide whether it's right or wrong. But again, deep down inside, we know it's wrong. But still, we have to not only try to suppress our conscience, we have to banish God away with God, and therefore we see a lot of anger directed at the religiously observant today in our culture. And then we go on and we see, finally, it says, they suppressed their conscience, they would not allow their eyes to look to heaven, and then they did not keep in mind just judgments. Look, in the end, everyone's going to have to reckon for what they've done. And I'm sort of unpopular in certain circles for constantly reminding people of this, but we're going to die, and we're going to be judged. And there's not going to be any game playing on that day, and we're going to not have any excuses. It's going to be an honest discussion with the Lord. We're just going to have to do that. Now, over and over again, the Bible says it. But in our modern kind of expression of the faith, many people have tried to sort of push away these things. Oh, don't talk about negative things like judgment and hell and things. The four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, we really don't want to be negative. We want to just, you know, be positive. And so again, we have all of this sort of, these ingredients are in the culture today, right? And so, and this goes on in the culture, but it also goes on in individuals. Oh, God doesn't really care, or God thinks, in this case, I'm sure God thinks it's okay for me to do this, and God understands, and et cetera, et cetera. And it may be true that God is, it is certainly true that God is merciful and compassionate, but in the end, he is no fool, and he will not simply call good what is evil. He's just not going to do that. And therefore, these are these three, I think there's just a brilliant, if you will, discussion about kind of the stages of sin or the basic ingredients of a sin, particularly the big ones. The idea of suppressing our conscience, of not allowing our eyes to look to heaven, and not remembering that one day we will face judgment. We just play all kinds of games and push it off to the side. But in the end, things are what they are, and we can't unmake them. And we cannot unschedule ourselves for death or judgment. And so a remarkable story, a long and remarkable story about one of the seven deadly sins and how it leads to many, many other sins as well. Amen.